Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Quick hits. No Shave November. The Ector County Sheriff's Department will present a No Shave November online event through November the 30th. To participate in No Shave November, participants must donate $50. Start with a fresh face at the beginning of the month and donate your face by not shaving until the end of the month. Proceeds benefit United Way of Odessa. Toy Drive. The Odessa Police Department will be participating in the 2022 Salvation Army Toy Drive through December the 12th. Citizens can drop off new, unwrapped toys by placing them in the red barrels located in front lobby of the OPD, 205 North Grant Avenue. WTFB Pantry Hours. West Texas Food Bank has scheduled new food assistance times from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Wednesdays at the Odessa Pantry, 411 South Pagewood Avenue, and from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Thursdays at the Midland Pantry, 1601 West Cliff Drive in Midland. Crimes and arrests. An Odessa woman who was accused of attacking her mother's fiancé in June was arrested Monday on a warrant issued in the case. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received a 911 call about a stabbing in the 1200 block of East 12th Street around 3 p.m. June 27th. When they arrived, a 47-year-old man told officers his fiancé's daughter, Noemi Lozano Medina, 37, punched and slapped him in the face and tried to stab him in the neck and back with a kitchen knife before fleeing. Officers noted the man's neck and back were red, but they hadn't seen punctured, the report stated. Officers obtained a warrant for Medina, and she was booked into the Ector County Jail Monday on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, family violence, a second-degree felony punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. Medina remained in the jail Tuesday on a $40,000 surety bond, but she is also being held on a parole violation charge. Ector County District Court records show Medina was sentenced to 3 years in prison in January of 2020 for an assault on a public servant, a charge she originally was placed on probation for. Man arrested after threatening peace officer. The neighbor of an Ector County Sheriff's deputy was arrested Friday morning after the deputy said he held him at knife point and threatened to kill him and his wife. According to an ECSO report, dispatchers sent deputies to their colleague's home in the 6400 block of Austin Avenue around 7:30 a.m. Friday after getting a call from him. Sheriff Mike Griffiths said that when deputies arrived, the suspect, Clarence Watson, had already retreated back into the house. He came outside momentarily, but deputies were forced to go after him when he bolted back inside, Griffiths said. They took him into custody just inside the house, Griffiths said. The deputy had dealt with Watson in an official capacity in the past, Griffiths said. Watson was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault on a public servant with a deadly weapon, a first-degree felony punishable by 5 years to life in prison. He remains in the Ector County Jail on a $50,000 surety bond. Man accused of firing shots in residential area. A 30-year-old Odessa man was arrested Monday afternoon after he admitted to firing multiple shots in a residential area. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, deputies were dispatched to Skyline Avenue and Centergate Street around 3:30 p.m. for a shots fired call. When one of the deputies arrived, he heard four shots being fired and he saw Jesus Jacob Mendoza Jr. holding a 9mm Glock handgun outside a home in the 900 block of West Nelda and several freshly spent shell casings on the ground. Mendoza admitted to firing the gun, and he was arrested on suspicion of deadly conduct, the report stated. It's a third-degree felony punishable by 2 to 10 years in prison. He remained in the Ector County Jail Tuesday on a $10,000 bond. man arrested on burglary charge. A 37-year-old Odessa man was arrested Sunday night after a group of people said he stormed inside an apartment and attacked his common-law wife. According to Odessa Police Department report, officers received a disturbance call around 9 p.m. Sunday from the residents of Pebble Bend Apartments on Esmond Drive. When they arrived, one of the residents told officers she heard someone knocking at the door, and when she opened it, Vassel Viamontes Vultes asked if his wife was present and rushed inside when told yes. Vultes' wife told officers her husband rushed at her, grabbed her arm, pulled her outside, and punched her in the head and scratched her, the report stated. She said her husband was drunk and jealous, and once her friends called 911, he fled. She also said her husband was armed with a large knife, but never threatened anyone with it. Officers took photos of the injuries on the woman's chest, according to the report. Vultes was arrested on suspicion of burglary of a habitation, family violence, a second-degree felony, punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. He remained in the Ector County Jail Tuesday on a $25,000 bond. OPD saves teen following OD, arrests brother. Odessa police officers were forced to use Narcan and CPR to bring a 14-year-old boy back to life Friday, and now his brother is facing the felony charge of endangering a child. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers were sent to the 2700 block of Windsor Drive around 10:30 p.m. Friday about a boy who had overdosed, was unconscious and not breathing. When officers arrived, the boy was still unconscious and cold to the touch. They gave him Narcan, an overdose treatment nasal spray, and conducted chest compressions on him and were able to revive him, the report stated. Angel Ramos, 18, told officers he was watching the boy and a 16-year-old girl when another 16-year-old girl brought over a M30 pill so it could be crushed up and used, the report said. According to the report, M30 are oxycodone pills that are often laced with fentanyl. Ramos said he allowed both of the younger teens to use the M30 and the younger boy overdosed. Due to the fact that Angel was negligent by allowing his siblings to use a narcotic that could cause them serious bodily injury or death, Angel was arrested for endangering a child, a state jail felony, the report stated. A state jail felony is punishable by 6 months to 2 years in prison. Ramos was released from the Ector County Jail Saturday after posting a $10,000 security bond. Discover Odessa hosting Meeting Planners Celebration. Discover Odessa is hosting its annual Meeting Planner Celebration on November the 10th, Topgolf Swing Suite. Discover Odessa will be honoring meeting and event planners that help the Odessa economy by bringing their conferences, meetings, sporting events, reunions, and annual events to our town. The Discover Odessa staff would like to recognize them for their hard work. Hosting events allows us the opportunity to showcase Odessa and all there is to offer, Director of Discover Odessa, Monica Tashnor, stated in the press release. We work closely with the event planners by assisting with accommodations, transportation, and their registration. It is also an opportunity to promote our local attractions and restaurants to our visitors. ConocoPhillips, Basin Production Strong. Third quarter report cites industry-wide need for investments. ConocoPhillips Chairman CEO Ryan Lance says inflation and supply chain constraints continue to hamper the energy industry and the world economy. In his Houston-based company's third quarter earnings report last Friday, Lance said that's particularly true in United States oil shale areas like the Permian Basin, where rapidly escalating costs combined with extremely tight supply are limiting the pace of industry-wide production growth. We believe the world will need investments in medium and long cycle production in addition to U.S. shale plays, and ConocoPhillips is well positioned to win in any environment, he said. we remain committed to delivering on our triple mandate of responsibility and reliability, meeting energy transition pathway demand, delivering competitive returns on and off capital, and progressing toward achieving our net zero operational emissions ambition. Lance said ConocoPhillips' third quarter production in the lower 48 states marked a record of more than 1 million barrels of oil per day. We anticipate further growth in the fourth quarter, he said. We recently announced a new medium-term methane intensity commitment, and from a strategic perspective, I wanted to provide an update on our global liquefied natural gas initiatives. First, we were recently selected to participate in Qatar's North Field South project following our selection earlier this year to participate in the North Field East, which adds to our long positive relationship with Qatar Energy. Second, we agreed to terminal services for a 15-year period at Britain's vital LNG import terminal in Germany. And third, we continue to progress our Port Arthur LNG project with Sempra, which we expect to reach a final investment decision on early next year. Overall, we continue to believe the substitution of natural gas in place of coal represents an opportunity for significant reductions in global greenhouse gas emissions, Lance said. This should drive global LNG demand and related opportunities well into the future. Chief Financial Officer Bill Bullock said ConocoPhillips' worldwide production was over 1,750,000 barrels of oil per day in the third quarter. For the fourth quarter, we don't expect any material turnaround impacts, Bullock said. Lower 48 production averaged a record of 1,013,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day, including 668,000 from the Permian, 224,000 from the Eagle Ford, and 96,000 from the Bakken. Cash provided from operating activities was $8.7 billion. This included a $15 billion benefit from working capital, primarily due to the timing of Norway tax payments and lower receivables, Bullock said. Excluding working capital, cash from operations was $7.2 billion. On capital, we invested $2.5 billion back into the business in the third quarter, including around $300 million for acquisitions. This resulted in free cash flow of $4.7 billion, which more than covered the $4.3 billion we returned to shareholders in the quarter. Ending cash and short-term investments were $10.7 billion September the 30th, up from $8.5 billion June 30th. We still expect full-year production of 1.74 million barrels of oil equivalent per day with a fourth-quarter guidance range of 1.74 million to 1.8 million BPD. MMH hosting Find a Job Friday. Midland Health is hosting a Find a Job Friday. The event is held in the lobby between the hospital's police department and the Human Resources Department, 400 Rosalind Redfern, Grover Parkway, and will be offered the first Friday of every month. Compass to add portables in preparation for expansion. Compass Academy Charter School is expanding once again with more students and eventually buildings. The school opened in 2011 and is a public charter school, so it is funded by the state based on attendance and does not receive property taxes. It has grown rapidly since it began and now has 1,401 students in grades kindergarten through 12. There is a waiting list of 771 students. They're hoping to have some new buildings going up in the spring. Pfluger vows to block EPA action. Tuesday's elections around the country may be the most important in Permian Basin history. That's because the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is poised to declare the basin a non-attainment area, and the Republican Party needs a majority in the U.S. House of Representatives to keep the region's energy industry intact. But Congressman August Pfluger has great confidence that his party will gain more than the necessary 6 seats and reclaim power in the 435-seat House in Washington. Republican State Representative Brooks Landgraf of Odessa emphatically welcomes Pfluger's involvement, and an EPA spokeswoman in Washington says her agency is determined to proceed against the basin. Pfluger was asked the significance of the U.S. Supreme Court's 6-3 ruling June 30th that the EPA had exceeded its authority in West Virginia under the 1970 Clean Air Act, and it would need congressional approval to take an action with vast economic ramifications. That ruling was so powerful for many reasons, the San Angelo Republican said Tuesday. It set a precedent that the government could not do what it has been doing, overregulating to the country's detriment and using these types of weapons against the oil and gas industry. We need a majority, and we'll get it in 1 week. The 11th Congressional District Representative said President Biden has been working to fulfill a 2020 campaign promise to kill the American fossil fuel industry, and this EPA threat is one of the tools he's using. It's really dangerous, he said. I wrote a letter to the EPA and its administrator, Michael Reagan, asking, what is the problem? What are we trying to solve? They gave a poor, lackluster response. This administration has proved that they will not give us the answers we're seeking. Pfluger said his inquiries to EPA Region 6 Administrator Aretha Nance in Dallas have elicited equally unsatisfactory responses. As of now, the EPA has not taken steps to implement a non-attainment designation, but we want to know why they will not meet with us and industry representatives, he said, adding that basin oil and gas companies have done much more to protect the environment than most foreign countries. Referring to Landgraf, the congressman said, Representative Landgraf and I work very well together on the state and federal levels, and we have both been focused on this. Landgraf said Wednesday that the EPA is operating in the shadows without transparency or accountability on behalf of an extremist faction of the Democratic Party. The EPA's latest and ongoing attempts to indirectly shut down Texas oil and natural gas production are terrifying examples of professional bureaucrats placing the desires of a few wealthy coastal elites over the security, economic, and even environmental interests of our nation, Landgraf said. If it were just about Texas jobs, that alone would justify the need for the leaders of Texas to step up and fight back against the EPA. But it is about so much more than that, because the hydrocarbons in the ground here in the basin could make our nation completely energy independent if we could just find the will to seize the opportunity. I'll continue to do everything I can as a Texas state representative born and raised in Odessa to protect the Texas oil patch. Thankfully, I'm not alone in this fight, as Congressman Pfluger and Governor Abbott headline a long list of liberty-loving Americans who are not going to let Texas oil and gas go down without a hell of a fight. Pfluger said he will reintroduce an amendment next year that would block the EPA, and he wants, quote, to use the power of the purse, end quote, to defund the agency. He said it is a certainty that all congressional Republicans would help protect the basin, because House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy of California, who is expected to become Speaker of the House if the GOP regains power, is committed to introducing a sweeping energy security measure as House Resolution Number 1 in January. It's a great sign, because I have been pushing extremely hard on this point, Pfluger said, expressing optimism that his party will also win a majority in the U.S. Senate. He said the visits he has hosted here for McCarthy and more than 20 other House members have enhanced understanding and support in Washington. I'll be leading the charge should the EPA choose to pursue this, Pfluger said. It would not only be illegal, but another example of federal overreach. Our nation is facing a very complex threat environment. I don't believe there has ever been a time when that was more true than it is today, and everything the Biden administration is doing with regard to the energy industry is weakening not only the industry, but also our national security. EPA spokeswoman Shay LaPowell said the Odessa American last week that the EPA is considering a redesignation to non-attainment for portions of counties in New Mexico and Texas located in the Permian Basin. Extracting and processing oil and natural gas results in emissions of nitrogen oxides and volatile organic compounds that cause ozone pollution, which can cause a number of health problems, including coughing, breathing difficulty, and lung damage, Powell said. The EPA is committed to its mission to protect public health and recognizes the importance of partnering with states and stakeholders to deliver clean air protections in a feasible, cost-effective way.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading some education articles in the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Tuesday, November the 8th, 2022. South teacher seeks sensory learning materials, by Ben Schaefer. Ms. Ara Nevis, a pre-K to second grade teacher at South Elementary School, is seeking funding for small muscle sensory learning materials for her young students. The donorschoose.org post expires on March 2nd, and there is $598 needed to fully fund it. Ara Nevis stated in her post that she incorporates as many small muscle control activities as possible during lessons, but as the students get bored of the old ones, she needs to seek new ones. With the sensory materials I've chosen, I will be able to keep their attention as they will have good visual sources to manipulate and straighten their little hands. Donate online at donorschoose.org/project/goodbye-weak-muscles/6813488.
To your good health by Dr. Keith Roach. Diabetes patient persists on hospice care. Dear Dr. Roach, my dad has been on hospice care for several months now. He had an untreated wound infection that was not responding to meds, so he went on hospice. Also, his wife died, and he lost the will to live after that. His sugars are well into the 400s. He is on pain meds and nothing else. His doctor says he should not have lasted this long, medically speaking. He gave me no other explanation except a shrug. His spirits are okay, but I fear something else will get him in the end, like bed sores, pneumonia, a fall, or COVID. Is it normal for a diabetes patient who no longer takes their medication to linger like this? He is not suffering per se, but quality of life is not good either. Answer. The goal of hospice care is to provide comfort to a person in the last phase of their life. If your father was thought by his physician to have a condition that was likely to end his life, normally, an expectation of end of life coming within 6 months is a necessary condition for hospice care, and he made up his mind to choose this option and understood the consequences of that action, then hospice is a reasonable choice. Elevated blood sugars in people in hospice care are common. They are often not treated, as they usually do not cause symptoms. Elevated blood sugars over months or years predispose people with diabetes to complications, including infection, heart disease, and stroke. But in a person in hospice care, these considerations are less important than the overall goal of reducing suffering. Medications are given orally whenever possible, and again, only to relieve symptoms. Something will indeed get him in the end, as it will for all of us. People in hospice care have accepted that. It can be hard for family members, especially when there is not an immediately terminal disease like cancer associated with the hospice care.
This is the Dear Abby column. Old-fashioned custom is still the best way to say thanks. Dear Abby, I was taught to write handwritten thank you notes when I received a gift. Over the last few years, my gifts have been acknowledged with a brief text, Facebook post, a photo, or not at all. I enjoy giving gifts, but the lack of response I receive from today's younger folks leaves me feeling frustrated and dismissed. Must I adapt my expectations to a new normal in etiquette? Signed, Mannerly Mister in Tennessee. Dear Mannerly Mister, the topic of thank you notes is one of the most common complaints I get from readers. While there's no excuse for not acknowledging a gift, you may be judging those writers harshly. Although handwritten thank you notes are the gold standard, many folks today opt to take a shortcut by using technology that didn't exist before the quill and inkwell. While texts may seem cold or terse, they are better than no acknowledgement at all. A common misapprehension is that thank you notes must be long or flowery. In fact, short and to the point is more effective. Many people don't send thank you notes because they don't know what to say or are afraid they'll say the wrong thing. I advise readers to keep a notebook handy when they open gifts and jot down the first words that come to mind when they see what's inside. Do they like the color, the style? Is it something they have been wanting? Write it down and use it for inspiration. My booklet, How to Write Letters for All Occasions, contains samples of thank you letters for birthday gifts, shower gifts, wedding gifts, and those that arrive at holiday time. It also contains sample letters of congratulations, as well as ones of difficult subjects, such as the loss of a parent, spouse, or a child. It can be ordered by sending your name and mailing address, plus a check or money order for $8 in U.S. funds, to Dear Abby Letters Booklet, P.O. Box 447, Mount Morris, Illinois, 61054. Shipping and handling are included in the price. With the holiday season just around the corner, this is the perfect time to reply with a handwritten letter or a well-written email. Because letter composition is not always taught in the schools, my booklet can serve as a helpful tutorial. Not only a valuable tool for parents to use in teaching their children to write using proper etiquette, but also a handy guide for anyone who puts off writing because they don't know what to say. Dear Abby, I don't cry when friends or close relatives pass away, which embarrasses me and makes me feel guilty. I do feel empathy, though. I cry only when a pet has died. What's wrong with me? Signed, Dry-Eyed. Dear Dry-Eyed, no one can predict when they will be moved to tears. So please quit beating yourself up over whether teardrops flow or not when a relative or friend passes. If the only time you cry over a death is when you have lost your pets, I surmise you may have had a deeper emotional attachment to them than to your late relatives. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.